Good morning to each of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be back here on a Sunday morning. It seemed like it's been a while. We was gone Sunday before last, and last Sunday we was sick. So it's very, very good to be here this morning. Thank you for your interest in our lives and your support as we was in Oregon. We had an enjoyable time there, and thank you for that. Welcome you each to this part of our service. Someone has quoted something, and I want to see if you can figure out what they're talking about. This is the most untapped resource, unexplored continent, where untold treasures remain to be unearthed. It is talked about more than anything else and practiced less than anything else. And yet for the believer, it is one of the greatest gifts our Lord has given outside of salvation. Okay. Someone else. The Bible, good. Nope. What are they talking about? F.B. Meyer said, "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, it is unoffered prayer." And so what that writer was talking about is prayer. It is an untapped resource, an unexplored continent where untold treasures remain to be unearthed. It is talked about more than anything else and practiced less than anything else. And yet for the unbeliever, it remains one of the greatest gifts our Lord has given outside of salvation. So I trust you have prayed for this day. And it wasn't that long ago that I preached on the unspoken request, but it felt like God was leading me to preach on prayer this morning. And the title of our message is, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Prayer engages God, enables God's people, and enlarges His kingdom. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Donald Whitney, in his book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, says this: think about praying without ceasing as communicating with God while you're taking a call on another line. You know how that is. Always keeping in mind to go back to who you was talking to before. Whatever interruption in life that is legitimate that you have, think about is praying without ceasing is just simply moving to something else, but always coming back to that line with God. He also states that too little time, too much responsibility, too many children, too much work, too little desire, too little experience are not excuses that exempt us from prayer. So I want to personally do something this morning, and I want you to personally do something. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. I'm not going to ask for an answer. But I want you to take a moment, and I want you to add up in your mind how many minutes you spent in prayer this past week. Last Saturday night, we was sick as I've ever been. And I prayed. Especially for Seat. She was so sick. And it was a little bit before I got as sick as she did. But I spent time in prayer. And I was serious about my prayer because I didn't know if I was going to have to carry her to the hospital or not. So that made me pray a little bit more. But as I analyze, and this inspiration come to me after I was here this morning about each of us taking time to think about how many minutes. And I confess to you this morning, I'm way, way, way under an hour that I spent in time just praying. I don't know what you come up with, and I'm not going to ask you, but I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed of how little time that I stopped or started my day or whatever. It seemed like this week we come off of a weekend of 3 sleepless nights. And it seemed like every morning you could hardly get to work on time because you were so tired. It's no excuse, But my time spent praying this week was far, far under 1 hour. Our last prayer meeting we had 19 prayer requests. We prayed for a lady by the name of Amanda who was seeking. We prayed for Daniel Schmidt's nephew who lost a son. We prayed for Nicholas's family. We prayed for Lindell Strickler. We prayed for rain. We prayed for Bill Bright for healing. We prayed for our school and our teachers and the students. Nicholas asked for prayer for witness at his mother's funeral. We prayed for those who were traveling to the funeral. We prayed for Gerald, Melissa, and baby Caden. We prayed for Mark Proper. We prayed for Judy Holmes. We prayed for Judy Kessler. We prayed for a man in Jacksonville that's needing help. We prayed for Gary for spiritual needs. For Dan Naus, who had cancer. We prayed for Javon Miller's mother. Her name is Cindy, for healing. We prayed for my brother Wendell and his family. And Nicholas gave a request for the mission there in Arlington. That was the date I have, was April 26th. Maybe we had prayer meetings since then, but I think that was our last time we was together. Prayer meeting is a time that I come to and that I enjoy so much. I wonder if we should have it twice a week. But I think it's because we stop what we're doing. We sit down beside each other on the bench, and we devote an evening to prayer. It's not hard for me to go in that room and take time to pray. Mr. Whitney in this book states this, that if you and I felt certain that there would be visible results within 60 seconds of every prayer we offered, there would be holes in the knees of every Christian-owned pants in the world. Now let that sink into your heart this morning. Visible results. And I don't know how everything worked out in our request in our last Wednesday evening service. But I do know that Nicholas prayed for the mission in Arlington, and he sent me a message that he signed up to volunteer there. And I feel like that was an answer to prayer. I feel like that was a visible result of that prayer request. I also believe that God has been with him and his family. I believe that that the witness of the gospel was given at the funeral. I believe God answered many, many prayers for those who were traveling, for Gerald and Melissa, for baby Caden, for Mark Proper. I believe God has answered a lot of the prayers. But if you and I believed that every prayer we offered in 60 seconds would be visible results, would it change our prayer life? Would it change your prayer life this morning? Is the reason that I personally don't spend more time in prayer is because I simply don't believe that God's going to answer it. I feel very vulnerable this morning, but I want to be as the disciples. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, and this is Jesus, he says, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 5, and he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you in verse 9, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We see the example of Jesus here. He was with his disciples, and it says he was in a certain place, and it says he was praying, and when he was finished, his disciples come to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that is my prayer this morning, that God would show me in a new and in a real way how to pray and how to pray more often. And we have grown up reciting this prayer, at least a form of it. We can all quote it by memory, I'm assuming, sitting here this morning. But I was just encouraged again by Jesus simply saying, when you pray, start this way. Recognize our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, when we come to God in prayer, and we bow our heads and we stop what we're doing, whether we're eating lunch, here at school, at work, in a restaurant, wherever, when we stop and bow our heads and pray, do we recognize truly who God is? Hallowed be thy name. Another quote here is, when our awareness of the greatness of God and gospel is dim, our prayer life will be small. We must recognize and understand who God is when we come to him in prayer. We start our prayer with praise and worship to a holy God. Another thing that I was impressed with again this morning in this prayer is we acknowledge his will and we accept his will. Is that also a reason for my lack of prayer? Because I really don't want the will of God. I want my will. Another thing I was going to have you do this morning was think about the greatest need that you have on your heart right now. Whether it's big or small, whether it's impossible or insignificant, the greatest need on your heart right now, take a moment and think about it. Jesus says to acknowledge his will and to accept his will, and then he goes and says, pray about the practical needs of life. It says, give us day by day our daily bread. It is okay to bring your needs, great or small, to Almighty God. It's okay to pray about finding a needle in a haystack or anything you're searching for, whether it's great or small, in a practical sense. The food we eat, the things we need, it is okay to pray about those. Jesus says, pray this way. And he starts out with acknowledge of who God is, and then he goes right into a very practical staple of life, and that was bread. Pray about our spiritual lives. Ask God for forgiveness. Jesus is teaching us when we pray to ask God for forgiveness, and he also is telling us to pray to forgive others. And this has been something that I've always, like I said, we've always read through this, and we've prayed through this, and it's been a very special prayer for us. But have we acknowledged the depth of forgiveness in our life and how that hinges on our forgiveness? And we had an evangelist this year, out at Bible school, and he was preaching on this text. And he said, when we don't forgive, we reassign our sins to ourselves. That, my friends, is serious. When we pray, ask God for forgiveness and pray to forgive others. I was just really blessed again by this, what we call a simple prayer, yet how encompassing it is for the Christian's life. Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus jumped right in and said, this is how you do it. Now turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may be able to know how you ought to answer every man. The thought I want to pull out of this verse here is, Jesus taught us to pray. He showed us how to pray. And then we have the instructions here to continue in prayer, or to remain steadfastly involved in prayer. Persist in prayer. Remain devoted, or to give one of the definitions was give unremitting care to or dedication to this principle of prayer. Continue, if I understand that right, was used about 10 times in the New Testament. Four of those times have to do with being devoted to prayer, continuing in prayer. Continue here gives us the idea of putting it with your prayer and making it more powerful, because we're continuing in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. A persistence in prayer is not an option for the Christian. It is an order from the Lord Himself, because the Bible says to do this. He showed us how, and then He says to continue. So what happens when we continue steadfast in prayer? We produce, or we become, a people that pray with passion. We pray with vigor. We pray with a reality that God is going to happen or to help us. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. Well, that scripture is not correct. I think it's going to be verse 4. I want to find this verse if I can. It's a verse about when the heaven was opened, when Jesus was praying. There we go, verse 21. Luke 3 and verse 21, it says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, notice this, and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. You know, Jesus was passionately, persistently devoted to prayer, and notice what happened. And I don't know if you and I can picture that, because we wasn't there, but it says heaven opened and the Holy Ghost descended like a dove. We know in, I want to just read this again, Luke 6 and 12, verse 12. Jesus, it says, and it came to pass in those days, he went out into a mountain to pray, continued all night in prayer to God. Back to what we was talking about earlier, whatever's on your mind, whatever's on your heart this morning, something that you would like to see changed today, spend time in persistent prayer. Passionate prayer gives direction. Luke chapter 9 here, let's move down here to another couple chapters here. Luke chapter 9 and verse 29, it says, "And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering." There again, I can't picture that, but it's what happened when Jesus was praying. And I believe he was praying in a way we should desire to. Passionate prayer enables us to experience the glory of God. I'd like to read a little bit in John 17. We don't have much time, and I feel like I'm on borrowed time with my voice here. John 17, I think this is what is known as the high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying for others. And I'd like to pull us into this text this morning a little bit and think about Jesus praying for us or for you personally. Let's start in verse 9. I'd like to read the whole thing. Let's start in verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 15 says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Notice this, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Dear people, this morning, have you experienced sanctification in your life? And I think we would say amen. God has saved us. God is sanctifying us. And I would like to bring this back to Jesus' prayer for you and I. Prayer impacts the lives of others. One more maybe, Luke 23. In verse number 24. Well, maybe we'll start up here a little bit earlier. Let's see here. Verse 28. Let's start in verse 28. "But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall they be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Now they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." You know, when we are engaged in a life of prayer, we can maintain that spirit of holiness, a spirit of power, even in the most difficult circumstances. No, we won't be as Christ, because he was man yet God. But people this morning, as we face life and we face an active, flourishing, passionate prayer life, we can be enabled to face even the most difficult circumstances. Okay, maybe a little more practical. Let's move back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 and verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse number 6 says, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when thou pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." These verses always, always convict me. We say it many times and we're going to say it again. Do you have a closet? Do I have a closet that is away from interruptions? Jesus is saying, when thou prayest, enter into a place where you can pray in secret. Or in other words, enter into a place that you can devote your time without interruptions in prayer. Have you ever had a prayer interrupted? Have you ever cut off a prayer without saying amen? Have you ever rushed through a prayer and didn't even know what you said? I've probably done all of that. But you know, when we're in a closet and we have shut the door on distractions and we become in tune with God, I think it's the prayer that we need to experience on a very, very regular basis. Find a closet and spend a lot of time in it. The discipline of prayer. Set a time and pray. Go where it's quiet. Spend more than just a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Not only do we have a divine summons to pray, we have a royal invitation to find ourselves in the place and presence of Almighty God through prayer. Does that resonate with you this morning? As you think about earlier, the thing in your life, on your heart right now that you would like to see change, or you would like to see better, we have an invitation here to come boldly and obtain mercy and find grace. Not only do we have a divine summons to pray, but we have a royal invitation. And I want to just take a few minutes to read about eight verses here. 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4 and verse 17 and 18. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. I want to keep this mind, this train of thought about what this invitation and this command to pray, and what happens as we follow through with that. Jude, verse 24 and 25. Many of you could possibly quote that by memory. Jude 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. It's like it's somebody that's grabbing hold of something and realizing how powerful it is to be in tune with God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. 2 Thessalonians 3. Verses 11, 12, and 13. For we hear, 1 Thessalonians 3. Verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Luke 22, 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Think about this thought of each of us sitting here this morning and prayer allowing us or providing us with the stability that when Satan tries to sift us as wheat. And I don't know what that makes you think of this morning, but it strikes fear in my heart to think about Satan sifting me as wheat. It says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Jesus says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Does that not give you a sense of peace this morning? Knowing how involved God is in the stability of our Christian lives. Back in Jude verses 20 and 21. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, as we pause a minute and think about our prayer life in our closets, think about how much we pray or how little we pray. Let's keep ourselves built up, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So a couple things prayer does. Prayer puts ownership of our needs, I guess, is a way to put it, along with God. We understand our need and we give it to God. We become aware of how God might have us to be a part of our answered prayer. And back to what we talked about early. You know, Nicholas gave that request about the mission over there. Well, how did God answer that prayer? Part of it was he took Nicholas and had him sign up. Where are me and you in answering our prayers? What is God? What does he want to involve us in the answering of our prayer? Another thing, when we pray, we give it to God, and sometimes he makes us wait. Sometimes he asks us to wait or allows us to wait. When we pray sincerely and honestly that we want the will of God, we're on His timetable. It makes us be on His timetable. Another thing that prayer does is it opens up our eyes. And I want to take us to, and we're out of time, but I want you to turn with me, if you don't mind, to 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings 6 and verse number 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You know, prayer opens our eyes and allows us to see what God is doing. Some things, sometimes we're blinded to what God is trying to teach us until we pray. Prayer is communication. We speak to God, God speaks to us and answers our prayer, shows us what we need. So again, back to what is on your heart this morning. Pray that God would open your eyes that you could see. You know, this situation went from a few people on a mountain, and it says that their mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Can you imagine opening your eyes and seeing that when you thought, "What or how shall we do?" We've all been in that spot in life where we didn't know which way to run. We didn't know how to get there. But it says the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Prayer opens our eyes. Prayer aligns our heart with God's heart. Prayer enables us to move forward, move past. Remember that prayer engages God, enables God's people, and enlarges His kingdom. Remember that Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Lord, teach us to pray. How much time have I spent thanking God for what He's done for me? How much time have you spent thanking God for what He's done for you? Who are you praying for this morning? What are you praying for? Is there a burden on your heart to see God's kingdom expand, to see His will being done? I trust there is, but let's be a people that spends time in our closets, spend time on our knees, praying that God would open our eyes, that we could see what He would have us to do. Psalm 116, four verses, and we'll be done. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me, I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. This morning I see in this psalm an encouragement, a command, but also a reality. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. This morning, dear people, if you're alive and you're breathing, you have an opportunity to call on the name of God. You have an opportunity to reach out in prayer and beseech Him to deliver you from whatever it may be. I trust you was encouraged this morning. As I studied this, it felt like I only barely scratched the surface. There's so many, many things in the Bible about prayer. We may do a series on this because I would like to study some people's prayers that we didn't get to this morning. But let's stand together for prayer.